So the Gemara picks up, finally, moves on a little bit, with the brides of Rav Oshia. So Tana Rav Oshia, again, if you remember in our Mishnah, there were four Avos Nezikin. Rav Oshia adds more. Shloisha Asar Avos Nezikin, Shemar Chinam, of course, the unpaid watchman. Hashoyel, a borrower, Nasei Sachar, a paid watchman, Vaseicher, and the renter. And Nezek Tzar, Ripoy Shevis, and Boishes, the five payments you have to make if you damage, you assault somebody else. Ve'arba demas nisan, and the four of the Mishnah. Hatleisa, that's 13. V'tana didan my time alotani hani. Why didn't our Tana say these other additional avos nezikin, if they are in fact of their own categories? So why didn't our Tana say it? B'shlomo l'shmuel. So the Gemara says it works according to Shmuel. Are all the four of our Mishnah niske mamon? When your property does damage, because Shmuel said mavish shein. So b'niske mamon kamayir, b'niske gufal kamayir. L'rav listen Tana, listen Tana. According to Rav, that Mav is Adam. So listen, why didn't it mention in the Mishnah? So Tana, Adam, v'chol mili di Adam. Because our Tana, when he said Adam, he meant everything having to do with people. So that's all of the five payments, together with Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Nesei Sachar, Nesei Sachar. So really, they're all included. Urab Oishi, Anami, Hatni, Adam, Hatani, Le Adam. But it says Adam in the Mishnah, so why do you have to add these additional ones? So Adam, Trey, Gavni, Adam. Because there's two types of Adam. Tana Adam, the Azik Adam. There's a person who damages a person. Tana Adam, the Azik Shar. Our Mishnah is talking about Adam, the Azik Shar. But Adam, the Mazik Adam, that's the Nezek Tzar, Ripoy Shev, and Simboishas. Because again, they're all included in the 13 of Rabbi Ishia. So why does he have two Adams? So he has two Adams, according to Rav. So he has two Adams, one for Adam, the Azik Shar, who only pays Nezek, one for Adam, the Azik Adam, who pays all five. So, for Gemara, Hachi Shar Nami Lisni, Trey Gavni Shar. Why didn't it say Shar twice? Shar that Lisni Shar the Azik Shar. What about a Shar that's Mazik a Shar? Lisni Shar the Azik Adam and a Shar that Mazik a person. Hi, Mai says Gemara. What are you talking about? They're all the same. Bishlam Adam Dazik Shar Nezek Kudim Mishalim. Adam Dazik Adam Mishalim Abra Dvarim. He pays four additional things. Oh, sure. Mali Shor Dazik Shor, Mali Shor Dazik Adam. Shor, that's Mazik, pays all the same. Shor, that's Mazik Shor, Shor, that's Mazik Adam. Idi V'idi Nezek Hudu Mishalim. He only pays Nezek. Says Gemara, Vashay Merchina, Vashay El Nesi Sech, Vasecher. What about those? Those are all, not Adam Dazik Adam. Those are Adam who's watching an item. The Adam Dazik Shor, that's an Adam. That's Mazik Ashor if he doesn't take care of it. V'katani. And nonetheless, they're mentioned in the Mishnah. So Tani Hazeka to be a dying, because Tani Hazeka to be Mega. Because one is talking about where he does Hezek with his hands. He's, you know, I don't know, he kills the squirrel that's next door, whatever, you know. Or he damages the squirrel, shoots with a BB gun that's next door. Or you have a guy who's watching something, but he's a Poshe and a Shmira. He's not careful in how he watches it. So that's not deliberate, or that's not even be a dying. That's not, you know, actively, it just happens more passively. All right, so we explained why each one of these are distinct categories. Then the Gemara continues. Tani Reb Chiya, Esrim V'arba Avos Nezikin. Now there's really 24. How do you get to 24? We already got to 13. How do you get from 13 to 24? The Gemara is now going to add 11. Tashlumei Kefel, paying twice by Gneva. Tashlumei Abav Chamisha, if you steal a Shav Chamor and you shecht it or sell it. Ganav Gazlan. A ganav and a gazlan, edim zoymimin, ha'ines v'mafata, a person who's a rapist or a seducer, moitzi shemra, one who spreads lies about the virtue of a woman, v'metame, someone who's metame, someone else's truma, medamea, I am mevatalit, I take your truma and I put it in a larger mixture, v'menasech, or I take your wine and pour it before an avodah zarah. Those are the additional 11. V'hani tleisa ha'esem v'yarbo. That's how you got to 24. So now the Gemara wants to know why in Rabbi Ishia, okay, you know, figuring out other things with Rabbi Ishia. But before we move on, listed amongst the 24 Avos Nezikin is Edim Zaymimim. So Taisa's comments over here, a little Taisa's there, Mas of Edim, Perish Riva, Dafilu Shilem Alpia Edim Zaymimim Chayovim. Even if the Edom Zayman, again, Rabbi says, what's Edom Zayman? Two Edom come and they say the seller, so-and-so owes money. And then they're found out to be liars. Not only liars, but Imanu Ayisim, by some Malcolm, by his mind, you couldn't have possibly testified to that. You were with us. Two other witnesses come and say you were with us at that time. So it says, even though they caused the initial party, the victim, to pay, the Edom Zoyimim have to pay. The few Shirim al Pira Edom Zoyimim Chayovim. They still have to pay. What is he talking about? He's talking about a Mishnah Masechtas Makos, which we are familiar with. I think we even mentioned it this year. Look at the sheet, Ois Aleph. It says the Mishnah Masechtas Makos. Here the Mishnah says, Ein or Edom Zoyimim Eroganat Shiyigmar Adin. Edom Zoyimim, who say someone else was Chayiv Misa, they're found out to be Edom Zoyimim, we put them to death. But we don't put them to death unless the person who they lied about was convicted. He was a Gemar Din. Shriya Tzedukin Oymim Achi Horeg. The Tzedukim say until he's put to death. Shneema Nefesh Tachas Nefesh. He actually has to be put to death. You should do to them that which they tried to do to their brother. And the brother has to be alive. If he's put to death, we don't put them to death. Meaning if they carried out the verdict, not just that they had a... that it reached a verdict, but it was actually implemented, we don't put them to death. But if they were just, the guy was convicted, but not carried out the sentence, so then we do put the Edom Zoyimim to death. So Gemara says that's very counterintuitive. What does that mean? If I lied in a court case that saw to a faulty conviction, so then I bear responsibility and the same punishment I tried to administer to my friend, they administered to me. But if they actually carried out the sentence, then I'm scot-free. Why is that? The Tzedukim say only if they actually carried out the sentence, then you punish me. Okay, it makes sense. But what about the Prushim, those who don't accept the Tzedukim? So the brother has to be alive. If he was actually put to death, you don't kill me. Why? It's counterintuitive. If you put me to death for when I tried to kill somebody, how much more so if I actually did kill him? So Tani Barebi Oymer Loi Hargu Nerogin. If the guy wasn't put to death, we kill the Edom Zoyimim. Hargu E Nerogin. What? And if he was put to death, we don't kill the Edom Zoyimim? It's counterintuitive. Amar Abaye Bini Lav Kal V'Chaymer Hu. Isn't it a Kal V'Chaymer? Amar Loi Lim Tanu Rabbeinu. You already taught us Ein Oynshin Min Adin. We don't punish based on a Kal V'Chaymer. That was the context that we had this earlier in the year. Okay. Fine, but turning to monetary payments, let's say I tried to get you to have to obligate a certain monetary payment, and I lied, I wasn't there at the time. And two witnesses came to testify to that effect. So I have to pay that monetary payment. What if not only did you get a guilty conviction, you actually, the punishment was carried out, and you paid with the person who takes the money in the city hall, whatever, the burster, whatever, you already paid. No one here has ever paid a fine. All right, you've already paid. I've been there before. You already paid. So now, do you still administer, you do to the alien what he wanted to do to that to the party? Or do we say, just like if I put him to death, the guy got put to death on the faulty testimony, but he was put to death, so then the Edom are off the hook. So too, if we actually administer the monetary payment, the Edom are off the hook. So the Riva says, no, even though we already administered the monetary payment, we don't say kasher zamam, like you tried to do, v'lo kasher asa, not that which you did, because money's different. D'lo shayach ben mamon, says the Riva back in Tosfos, kasher zamam v'lo kasher asa, that which you tried to do, not that which you did, like we said by Misa, if you actually killed him, you're pater, it's only if you tried to kill him, you're chayim. De'efsha b'chazara, money can be returned, meaning it's never really administered, because you can always get a refund. Can always get a refund. So the Rifa says, it's never really a done deal, because you could always get it back. Okay. The Re says, we don't have to go that far. Re mefarish, the lo tzarech lahai time, but don't tell me about money is efter b'chazara. Even if it wouldn't be efter b'chazara, you could get a refund. We said it's a kal v'chaymer. If you tried to kill him, you're put to death. If you actually killed him, nah. That's a kal v'chaymer. Of course you should be put to death in that situation. Gemara said, ain't no ancient min hadin. We can't administer capital punishment based on a kal v'chaymer. Yes, for monetary punishments, yes. By capital punishment, we don't punish based on a kal v'chaymer. So one of the Avos Nezikin in the Brayso of Rabbi Yishiyah was Edom Zoyimim. what is the halakha of Edim Zayimim who tried, who actually carried out a verdict was actually carried out, the sentence was carried out, and the person paid money because of my false testimony. So I have to pay that which I tried to make you pay, which I tried to make the victim pay. Ah, but you already paid. We usually have a rule, kasha zoma, what kasha asa? That does not apply to money. Either because ancient mammon min adin, or because money is never considered administered, kasha zoma, what kasha asa? Because you could always return it. That's the machlokes, the riva.
Can I
be
over
the riz? The riz says, the only time, we have discussed earlier in the year, the rule, ain't onshin min adin. We don't administer punishments based on a kavachemer. Does that extend to money? Maybe that's limited to misa, maybe even to malchus. We explained why. Why can't we administer a punishment based on a kavachemer? Because a punishment is supposed to serve as a kapara. So maybe it serves as a kapara for the lesser avera, but it won't serve as a kapara for the greater avera. Or maybe there'll be a pircha in the kavachemer. So we don't know. You make a kavachemer. A kavachemer looks good on the surface, but you never know. What if you dig a little bit deeper? So that's what we say in Einshin Min Adin. But what about when it comes to monetary payments? So we said if the reason why Ein Einshin Min Adin is because, not because you're afraid of a piracha. If you're afraid of a piracha, you could be afraid of a piracha. Something will undo the kavachemer even by money. If it's because, though, this punishment might serve as a kapar for a lesser avera, but not serve as a kapar for a greater avera, so that shouldn't apply to money, because, so maybe instead of paying this amount, you should have to pay a greater amount. Meaning, why should we not say, kasha zamam, that you have to get the punishment yourself if it was actually carried out? We have to explain why, but maybe that wouldn't apply to money, because even though it serves, you know, if it serves a kapar for the lesser avera, certainly it should serve as a partial kapara for the larger avera. So if it was actually carried out, fine, so what? It's a kavachomer. So if you try to make me pay money, you have to pay. Certainly, if you actually, I actually paid, you should have to pay. So onchin mamon min adin, even though by malchus, by misa, we wouldn't actually apply that. But Heber, why did they jump automatically to the case of where it was already carried out? What's the standard case of Edim Zayman? A standard case is, No, where it was never carried out yet. There was a verdict that was reached, but it wasn't administered yet. Why did the Riva and the Ri automatically jump to the case where it was already administered? Yeah. What are you telling me about a Mishnah Makis and this? Hargu and Erogin. Say it's talking about a case where they reached a verdict, but it wasn't carried out yet. That's the Av Nezik, and then you have to pay. Whatever you tried to make your friend pay, the victim pay, you have to pay because you lied about the testimony. So Shita Mekubetza says over here, Hebron, it's really obvious if you think about it. But and my Ram makes this point on Taisus also. She demands this quote like this from the Rosh. Says that she demands this tema. How could Edim Zaymimim be amongst the list of Avos Nezikin? If we're talking about a regular case of Edim Zaymimim who the verdict was not carried out yet, you didn't cause any damage. You wanted to. You thought about it. You actually testified in court. But what damages can we speak of? Therefore, says the Rosh, it must be a case where it was already carried out. So, Tema, Masharakom Misni Edim Zoyimim Bahadi Avos Nezikin. How can you list it together with Avos Nezikin? Velolo also Shum Ezek. Nothing happened yet. It's all potential. A verdict was reached, but not sentence wasn't carried out. Divushilem Kvar PM. Yushim Kvar, if it was already paid out PM, Paturim. Darmina Kasha Zama below Kasha Rasa. Oh, and what will you tell me? No, they already paid. We have a rule, Kasha Zama below Kasha Rasa. That's why the Re and the Reva have to chime in. Therefore, we're talking about that by money, we don't apply that rule of Kasha Zama below Kasha Rasa, either because it's Efshe B'Chazara or because by Mamon, On Chin Min Adin, you can't apply the Kamachayim.
Can you repeat that last part?
Yeah, so, meaning, how could it be, all of these things are things that cause damage, yeah? Avos Nezikin are things where damage occurred. How are Edim Zoyim a thing where damage occurred? Must be, you didn't just testify in court because there's no harm, no foul. We found you out, haha, we got you before anything happened. So it can't be that's the case. Must be it was implemented already. If it was implemented already, the Mishnah says, Amakos, Kasher Zaman, Velo Kasher Asa, that if the guy was actually killed based on the false testimony, we don't punish the witnesses, even though it's counterintuitive. We should have said, if you tried to kill him, you get punished. Certainly if you actually did kill him. But we don't punish based on a kal v'chomer. Kasher zaman, like you tried to do, v'lo kasher also. So that's where the Re and the Reva chime in. Oh, must be either that rule doesn't apply to money because it's never considered a done deal. It was never carried out because you could always get a refund. That's the Reva. Or because even though you really, it's counterintuitive. If you try to harm somebody, you get punished. Certainly, if you actually did harm him, so we just, by Misa and Malkus, ain't Oinshin Min Adin. But when it comes to money, Oinshin Min Adin. We can't punish based on a kal v'chomer, because we're not afraid of a pircha. We're afraid is this punishment won't help you at all. It's too small. You did something even worse. Okay, but if it's money, it's all an aggregate. It's all, compounded. So, b'chla masai mona, even if you should have had to pay 200, at least pay 100. We'll do something for you. That's the Re and the Reva. However, Rabbi said the Ritva disagrees. It says Ritva Masechtas Makis. No, just like we have a rule, Kasher Zaman v'lo Kasher Asa. When it comes to Malkus, when it comes to Misa, if you try to kill him, you try to make him Chai Malkus, then the Eidim Zoyim get punished. The same is true by money. And if it actually was done, I'm sorry, you don't get punished. You're off the hook. So too by money. It says Ritva here is Gimel v'nir Ali. This is not true. Where nothing happened. Anytime you paid, even though the money could be returned or whatever, doesn't matter. It's kasher zama v'lo kasher asa. That which you tried to do, not that which you actually did. And even though we said if it actually was carried out, you don't get punished, the witnesses don't get punished. Says the Ritva, even though there are those who say by money you can punish based on a kal v'chomer, the Torah did not distinguish between these punishments. Since by putting a guy to death, you don't get punished for that which you tried to do, not with that which you did. Even though you could have just returned it, doesn't matter. You can't interpret a pasuk one way for one thing and one way for another thing. Everything gets interpreted the same way, that which you tried to do, not that which you actually did, and therefore even by mammon, we would say, kasha zaman v'lo kasha asa, that which the witnesses tried to do, not what they actually did. So Ritva disagrees with our Tosfos. All right, we have a machlekes mishainim. Kasher zaman v'lo kasher asa by Misa. That which you tried to do, you were responsible for, not what that actually carried out. By money, it's machlekes if that's the case. You tried to make a guy pay money, so then you're obligated to pay for sure. What if he actually paid? So Taisus says you're still obligated to pay the Eidim Zayman because you can return it, or because by Mama and Onchim and Adin, the Ritva disagrees. He says just like by Misa, that which you tried to do, you're responsible for, that which you actually did, you're scot-free, you're off the hook. Here, the same rule applies to money too. Okay, but what's the problem though with this Ritva? The Ritva is more difficult. Why? Because you have a kasha. Rabbi said, turn to that Vayin Da'alam and Aleph. Turn to that Vayin Da'alam and Aleph. Mars in the day, I ain't down enough to follow him. Here, two lines in the top. Have you had me? May it know as each plan. I can't read. I can't talk. Anyway. What does anyone want to read? Someone read? Never seen a question on God. So what happened?
Testified that this guy knocked out the tooth of his...
Anybody know what happens if you knock out the tooth of an Amikinani?
Goes free.
And then, I'm sorry, he blinded him.
So he did both?
Did both. So one, he goes free. The second one, he's got to pay. Because now he's a free man. Okay, so the Eved is happy to go free. If he wouldn't be happy to go free, then this wouldn't apply. But the Eved wants to go free, and now he wants to get paid. So you have to pay him for blinding his eye. Guess which is more expensive? Blinding a guy or knocking out his tooth? Really? Get an implant. Get an implant. No, blinding the guys, obviously. I assume it's more expensive. Sharia Evid, I can find. No, the Nintzu Zayman. Remind me never to play football with you. Nintzu Zayman. So now they're found to be Adam Zayman. So what happens? They have to pay Dimei Ay and Lerav, the amount of the Ay to the Rebbe. To the Adon. They tried to make the Adon pay the amount of the Ay. All this was false. So they have to pay the amount of the Ay. Go on. Hechi Dami. If the second group of Adim saying, this never happened, Lo Hayu Dvar Mei Oilam, you have to pay all of the Eved because you tried to free him aside from the payment for the eye. So rather must be Ella. Everyone agrees that something happened here and the guy lost his tooth and he lost his eye. They just say the eye came first, so that's what sets the Eved free. Now you have to pay for the tooth. That's much cheaper. What if, though, this had never happened before? The whole thing is foul shatayra. The whole thing is chalaymis. This never happened. What would you have to pay? If a guy said, sima as ein avdai, and then hipil as shenai. One, he goes free. One, he has to pay. What would you have to pay if the whole thing was foul shatayra? The whole thing never happened. You'd have to pay not only for the damage, which you tried to make me pay, for the entire eved. Yeah? That's what Gemara says. One minute. But why? Why should I have to pay for the Eved? The Eved, the minute he goes free, has himself. So it's like, right away, the punishment was administered already. Even if you didn't take the money for the eye or for the tooth from my pocket, the fact that the Eved goes free happens immediately. So it's already Kasha Zaman below Kasha Asa. If we're going to say Kasha Zaman below Kasha Asa applies to money, not like the Ri and the Rivan advertises, the Ritva says, we don't want to distinguish between different punishments. Kasher Zom is Eidim Zom, all the same din. So if that's the case, so over here, you paid already because the Eved takes himself immediately. Similar case. Just to flesh it out, to understand a little bit better what I'm talking about. Says over here, Gemara, turn to pay testament on it. Have a turn to pay testament on it. Yeah, bottom line, I'm sorry, Pechasim Abayz, Tanina. You got me? Tanina, the bottom line, Pechasim Abayz. Excuse me. You see me?
Yeah.
Tanina, may
you them? Tanina, may you them, I'm an Ish Ploni, she gives Ish Tela, so they testified that a guy knows his wife. And that's like Suba.
And he paid already.
And he had paid. But he talked of Mashmash, so he saw his own man.
And she just happens to be hanging around. That's it. Oh, you'll say, why is she still in the house? She hasn't left yet. But he paid her. He divorced her. He's scot-free. Yeah, friends of the husband, obviously. And him, Suzayman. Now they found to be Adam Zayman. So they tried to get him out of what? They tried to get him out of paying the ksuba, and they were lying. They don't have to pay the whole ksuba. They have to pay. How much would he have paid now to relieve himself of the obligation to pay the ksuba if they should ever get divorced? Because it's the futures. I don't want to get involved in the finances of projecting what a ksuba is worth, but it's not the full face value of the ksuba because maybe we'll never get divorced or maybe I'll never pay. So it's the futures value of a ksuba, if you know what I'm talking about. Fine. The value of the ksuba now if she would cash in. But one minute, if Kasha Zom of a low Kasha also applies to money like the Ritva told us against our Taisvis, the minute that the Adam Zayman came, it's already considered paid because he's holding on to his own money. So how can they make the Adam have to pay the wife for her lost ksuba? He already collected his money by virtue of the fact that he kept the money that was always his. You know what I'm saying, Rabbi? Say, what did they try to do? They tried to get him out of paying the ksuba. They tried to allow her to lose money and him to gain money. The minute that they testified and the testimony was accepted, again, a verdict has to have been reached. If no verdict was reached, there's no kasha tzamam. A verdict was reached, the sentence couldn't have been carried out. But the minute the verdict is reached, the sentence is carried out because I get to keep my money. It's instantaneous. So if kasha tzamam never comes into play until there's a verdict, the minute the gemar din is issued, it's already carried out because I get to keep my own money. So how could the Ritva say kasha zaman below kasha rasa applies to money? Look at these two cases where you do have to pay, even though the payment was already made or was already held onto by the party who's being discussed. That's the kasha the stipler asks on this Ritva.
Can you repeat that one more time?
Yeah. Again. No, we can't even speak about kasha zaman until a judgment is reached, until there's a gemar din. Okay, so a verdict has to have been reached. What happens? A verdict comes. You don't have to pay. So do I have to carry out the sentence? Do you have to go to the city clerk to get money to change hands? No. Not paying is, I get to keep my money. So the minute the verdict is reached, it's already paid because you get to keep your money. So how can we speak about, if we're going to say that kasha zamam only applies, we only make the witnesses pay for that which they tried to do if it wasn't carried out yet. But once it's carried out, we don't punish the witnesses. Here, when you talked about a person holding on to his own money, or the eved holding on to himself, the minute the verdict is reached, it's already carried out because I'm holding on to my own money. The eved is holding on to himself. So we should never apply kasha zamam in those situations because the minute that the verdict reaches, it's already carried out. You understand why? Because no money needs to change hands. The Eved doesn't have to go anywhere. He just gets to keep himself. So according to our Tosfos, the kasha zama velo kasha asa, that which you tried to do, not that which you did, doesn't apply to money. Fine. Now we understand. But if it does apply to money, meaning that limitation, only that which you tried to do, not that which you actually did, applies to money, like the Ritva told us, we don't want to distinguish between Misa and Malkus and money. So then these cases where the money, the verdict, is the sentence is carried out, the minute the verdict is reached, how could you ever pay kasha zamam?
And the verdict was reached when the slave was set free?
The verdict is reached once there's a gemar din. In court, we're accepting the testimony. No judge bangs the gavel in a beis din, but fine, you know, nimshal, the guy bangs the gavel, it's done. Psak din has been issued. Now you have to go to the city clerk to collect the money, but here you don't. So the minute... And we don't talk about kasha zamam until there's a gemar din. We already saw that in the Mishnah of Maseches Makos. So once there's a verdict reached, instantaneously it's carried out because I get to keep my money. The eved gets to hold himself. Yeah.
Can't we just say that those two cases are different? Like,
why?
Some sort of an exception? Because in the case where you actually have to carry out, or like a person has to go then take out money and pay someone else or whatever, then that's a difference than just like something being instantaneously.
You're saying exactly what the stipler says. Yeah, read the stipler. Oh, he's down. Go ahead. Venir Bazet.
Venir Bazet, I get it. Kasher Zaman, Bo Kasher Asahu. Tato Sheker, Shehu Baal, Shehu Baal.
The only time that Kasher Zaman was Kasher Asah, the also Sheker, Shehu Baal, Lifo, Bey, do so. What is Lifo? That which you accomplished, yeah?
But you do so, Kvar Nasah.
It already happened. Yeah?
Shalo Kedim.
That which travesty of justice that you tried to perpetrate already occurred. Who could go in? Then it already happened. You said this guy's property belongs, you know, you said this property belongs to him. It really doesn't. Aval. That happens without your edus. Meaning, I'm holding on to my money without you. The eved is holding on to himself without the edim. The guy who has the husband who hasn't paid the ksuba is holding on to his money without the edim. So the only time we say kasher zamam or kasher asa is when the edim caused some sort of change to occur. There was a travesty of justice, miscarriage of justice. This is not, these things were happening before the edim. It just continued in the status quo after the edus. If we're going to do some gam kenachiyu, yeah, go on. The hagam, fourth line.
The hagam.
And the fourth line here, five words in. Even while he was in heaven, he was holding on to himself. Go on, Vashaloy. The only Shalakidin is that he didn't have to serve the master during those 5 seconds before we undermine the Edim. Okay. Yeah, and also by the husband who's exempt from Miksuba. Yeah, read. I'm holding on to my money that was taking place without the Edim. The Ptur hasn't happened because I could still pay. So nothing changed. The only time we can speak about Kasha Zama v'lo Kasha Asa is when something changed based on your testimony. Here, nothing changed. The Eved was holding on to himself. The husband had his money in his wallet the whole time. So we can't speak about a change. When do we apply Kasha Zama? Well, Kasha Zama is if a change occurred. What if a change occurred in money, not in Malkus and Misa? That's the Machlekes, the Ri and the Riva against the Ritva. But if nothing occurred, even if the judgment was carried out, but no change occurred, we can't speak about Kasha Zama.
Why can't we ask about the Ri and the Riva that, like, the Riva was saying, one of his points was that we can't make a distinction in the Pasuk. Like, we can't just say, okay, the Pasuk applies in this case, but at the same time, we're going to reinterpret the Pasuk the other way. According to the Ri and the Riva, they're just kind of like bending it to what.
Yeah, I don't think that's really. I don't think we're bifurcating the Pasuk according to them either. But it's not glot. We have a rule, Kasher Zama, Kasher Asa, and you're telling me there's an exception to the rule. The Ritva is much better. There's no exception. Once the verdict is carried out, that's it. The Edom Zoma off the hook. That what you tried to do, not that what you did. Okay, but Rabbi said, we've been discussing money. Money! Maybe you could return it. Money! Einchin min adin. So maybe even if the verdict is actually carried out, you should still have to pay. That's why it's in the Avos Nezikin. And that's what the Ri and the Riva told us. Rabbi said, look at this Rambam. My goodness. Look over here at this Rambam. Here, Josh, read the Rambam. I say, Nerag Zeh.
Nerag Zeh, you know, love, Vaka, you know, in an argument, min adin. Shne Marka, Shirz, and Mama, so, Vedayin lo Asa, Vedavar, Zemipi, Hakabal.
Okay, this we know, this is the Mishnah Masechta Makis. That which you tried to kill him, not that which you actually did kill him.
Avohim laka, Zesha, Idu, Allah, Lokin.
Whoa! So let's say they administered Malkus based on the testimony of the witnesses. Do we apply, and then they're found to be liars. Do we apply Kasha Zaman and give them Malkus? Yes! Kasha Zaman below Kasha Zaman not only doesn't apply to money, doesn't apply to Malkus. Not only that which you tried to do, that which you did. That which you tried to do, not that which you did, applies to Misa. Ooh. Malkus, it's even that which you did. He also has to pay. So Zok derive it over here, three little words. Shibush was there. By the way, this is a mistake. That's it. Azoy. I don't even have to explain. Shibush was there. It is Poshit. It's against the Gemara. But the simple interpretation of the Gemara is that this applies to Misa and Malkus. Why would you distinguish between Misa and Malkus? So here, in this vacuum, all of the Mefarshim are trying to understand this Rambam. So Kesef Mishnah raises two possibilities. Anybody see Kesef Mishnah? Anybody saw it inside? Yeah, John Reed. Tzarech Levakish Tam Minayim. Okay, so basically, yes, why would you distinguish? So one reason is that he's going to say for the Rambam, yeah, the way Aminan. Only by Misa were you actually carried out a death penalty. Why? What did he say? What did he say? Huh? Why? No, you exactly. You killed somebody. Don't think you can get off the hook by us killing you. That's not even good enough at this point. You're so horrible. nothing can help you. If it's Malchus, we can give you a punishment that will help with the fact that you lied and we administered Malchus based on your testimony. But Misa, if you got caught, someone killed based on false testimony, then we can't help you anymore. Sorry, sir. You know, just leave us alone. I mean, it's just, you're not off the hook. You're just beyond help. Okay. That's the Kesef Mishnah's Pshat. God's going to deal with you. Yeah. You're going to suffer terribly. Dugma ledavar. If you give over, right, the Pasuk says, if you give some of your children to the Molech, you're put to death. What if you give all your children? You're putter. Why are you putter? Give all your children to the Molech? Because we just can't even help you anymore. You're beyond help. God will deal with you. Okay. Yeah. Mashein lomar kein behilku al pi edusam. But by Malchus, you're not that bad of a guy. We're going to help you out. We'll give you a kapar and basin. So that's one possibility of the Kesef Mishnah. The guy got, well, you killed somebody based on your testimony. You're such a bad guy, we can't even help you, and therefore we don't put you to death. Malchus, you're not that bad of a guy. You're still a bad dude, but you're not that bad. All right, we'll give you Malchus, and that will serve as a kapar. This is a theological pshat. Why? Chayav Misa. What did he say? He said Hashem is part of everything Torah, and therefore, if you got killed in Beis Din, this guy, you deserved it. Even though the Edim and the testimony and the circumstances were all false, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to die. Now, I don't know if this is exactly what he's saying, but it certainly touches upon the issue, theological issue that's discussed by the Achrayim, is that each person has Bechira Chavshis. We all have free choice. Can I use my Bechira Chavshis to affect another person beyond that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had ordained for him? Meaning, can my Bechira affect your Hashgacha? HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over each person. We believe in that, Hashgacha Pratis. But we also believe, Bechira Chavshis, we each have free choice, unhindered, unbridled free choice to do that which we want, to make mistakes, or to do positive, you know, to do mitzvos at will. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't control us. But those two concepts are difficult to stim with one another. If I have free choice and you have Hashgacha, you know, how do those two relate to one another? So the Sefer HaChinuch writes, along the same lines as this Kesef Mishnah. Sefer HaChinuch, you have to know about this, Sefer. Sefer HaChinuch is in Mitzvah Resh Mem Aleph. The Sefer HaChinuch is discussing the Iser of taking Nekama. Every child learns about in elementary school. You're not supposed to take Nekama. Why not? We never bother asking that question to the little school children. Why not? Yenam did something to me. Why shouldn't I do it back to him? It's almost a visceral response. I assume it's just wrong, but why is it wrong? Says the Sefer HaChinuch, an unbelievable explanation. He says, because if something happened to you, it was the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't look at your friend. He might have been a Kadosh Baruch Hu's emissary, his Kli, his Shaliach. But if this happened to you, Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen to you. So don't look at this guy. You have a problem with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So don't take out revenge against him. He didn't do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu did it. What does that imply? Not implied, states explicitly, that Yenim can't hurt me unless the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted it to happen. So his Bechira is limited to himself. You cannot use your Bechira, your free will, to affect me and override my Hashgacha Pratis. And the Chayvus HaLevavos and the Vilna Gaon all say the same thing. However, in contradiction, you know, in distinction to this Sefer HaChinuch, is a well-known comment of the Zohar HaKadosh and the Rechaim HaKadosh and Parashas Vayeshev. When the Pasuk says that the brothers were plotting to kill Yosef, Vayishma Ruvain Miatzileu Miyadam. Ruvain heard about it and he saved Yosef. What was the great salvation of Ruvain? What was his good idea? To throw Yosef into a pit. Vayashlicheu Abar. He saved Yosef. Yeah, but the Gemara, the Pasuk comments, Habar Reik. Ain bo mayim. It was empty, there was no water. If it's empty, obviously there's no water. you know, that's redundant. So from there, Chazal derive, yes, mayim ein bo, aval nechoshim v'akravim yesh bo. There were snakes and scorpions. Frek the Zayar HaKadosh, the Archaim asks on his own, he doesn't mention the Zayar. And that is, what big favor is Reuven doing him over here? You saved him from being killed by his brothers, so you threw him into a snake pit? What kind of favor is that? He's going to get killed by the snakes. Says the Archaim HaKadosh, no. Because snakes can't hurt you unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen. Balei Chaim have no Bechira. But a human being can hurt somebody else even against the Hashgach of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So you're better to be with dangerous animals. You can tame the dangerous animals. Who's the guy in control of the animals? You can tame the dangerous animals, but the human beings you can't control. That's against the Sefer HaChinuch, who said, don't take a come against somebody else. You don't have a problem with him. You have a problem with the Ribbono Shel Olam or something bad happened to you, or Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to happen, because someone else can't use his Bechira to affect me. The Chaim HaKadosh says, no. By human beings, they can use it to affect you. Even beyond that, which Kadosh Baruch Hu desired or wanted, the Hashgacha Pratis, Kiviyachov, we can't even discuss these things. So therefore, he threw him into the snake pit rather than being in the hands of human beings. That was safer. Our Taisa says in Masechtas Ksubis, Taisa says, HaKol bidei shamayim chutz meyir shamayim. Gemara Masechtas Ksubis and Daf Lamed. Frak Taisa is, but we have a rule, ein oimdim b'makom sakana. You're not supposed to stand in a place which is dangerous and say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will provide an ace for me because ein soimchen al anes. Says Taisus, why do I have to be worried about ein soimchen al anes? HaKol bidei shamayim chutz meyir shamayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it to happen to me. It's not going to happen to me. So I could stand at the edge of an airplane like this and say, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to die, I'll die. If not, not. My standing here will make absolutely no difference. Taisus says, not true. Taisus says, a person can harm himself even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it to take place. Pshia is different, says Taisus. So a person can commit suicide, he can kill himself, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it to take place. So Bochanan writes in his Kovetz Mamarim, that's his collection of letters, you see from this Taisus, also like the Archaim HaKadosh, people, myself included, can harm ourselves, we can harm others, even if I'm beyond Hashgacha. That's how far our Bechira goes. But the Sefer HaChinuch and the Kesef Mishnah here seem to assume a little bit otherwise. No, exactly, just the opposite. That I cannot use my Bechira to harm somebody else as a Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it. So if this guy got killed in Beis Din, we don't kill the Edom Zayim. Why not? Because it's not their fault. Like the Sefer HaChinuch said, what are you blaming him for taking a come against him? It's not his fault. We punish him, did this to you. So too over here, says the Kesef Mishnah, why would we punish the Edom? It's not them. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who administered the punishment. Yeah.
But according to Sfarah, don't we say Paro gets punished precisely for doing the same thing?
Excellent. The Rishonim discuss, why is Paro punished? Wasn't he using, wasn't this always meant to happen? So the Rishonim will deal with that question for that very reason. There are many different approaches to that question. Either Paro did more than he was allowed to, which implies that a person can use his Bechira to do even more than that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had intended. That's like one. I don't want to discuss the entire topic, but that would imply like that approach. Other Rishonim take say different answers. No, someone had to be the bad guy, and it was Paro, Megalgalin, Schusa, Zakai, V'choy, V'aldei Chiyuv.
But if you go by that logic, then it didn't have to be these people, it had to be Aaron Zoom. It could have been someone else sort of punished.
Yeah, so it'd be no worse than the machine. You're asking a good kasha. The answer to the Kesef Mishnah is not the greatest. It's not the greatest. We're going to have better answers. But the Kesef Mishnah at least is saying this much, which is, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted this guy to die, and therefore, why are you blaming the Edom Zayim? Similar to the argument of the Sefer HaChinuch, why are you taking a comma against this guy? You're asking a fantastic point in it. But why are we blaming this guy? It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So over here says the Kesef Mishnah was HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could be the Kesef Mishnah wouldn't say like the Sefer HaChinuch, except in this case. Because the Sefer Kesef Mishnah says, Elohim nitzav ba'das keil. Pasuk, I think, Parashat Shoftim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits. Where is that pasuk? Elohim nitzav ba'das keil. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, together in the midst of the judgment. So therefore, Pasuk in Tehillim, sorry. It's Pasuk in Tehillim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there at every din Torah. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, so then Dinei Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has extra involvement, and if he didn't want it to happen, it wouldn't have happened. Because this is the Maisa, this is the actions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe the Kesef Mishnah would agree outside of Beis Din to the Archaim HaKadosh, that I can affect other people with my Bechira, even though it would be Al Nashgach of Hashem. These are the two answers to the Kesef Mishnah. How could the Rambam say that kasha zomer, well, kasha is only limited to misa and doesn't extend to malchus, either because misa is so bad we just can't even help you anymore, or because misa Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to occur and therefore we don't punish the Edim. But malchus, neither one of these would apply. Yeah.
Why does that second answer answer why the Edim's only get lashes?
And it must be, you'll have to say for the Kesef Mishnah, I'm sorry, that even though Kadosh Baruch Hu is involved in administering Misa, Malchus and Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really care about. So you can harm somebody without Kadosh Baruch Hu's involvement. I can use my Bechira to override your Hashgacha when it comes to Malchus damage. Misa, that's the sole domain of the Rebbeinu. So the Kesef Mishnah's argument is very nuanced, because those Rishonim who say, I can't use my Bechira to override Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha, would say it both by Misa and by Malchus. The Kesef Mishnah is limiting it to Misa and not Malchus. Not the greatest. So Reb Chaim says a different answer. Reb Chaim says a third possibility for the Rambam. Why should we distinguish between Misa and Malchus? If by Misa is that which you tried to do, not that which you did, why should we say Malchus is even that which you did? Money, we already explained at length why money is different. Potentially. Why should Malchus be any different? If by Misa is that which you tried to do, not that which you did, Malchus too?
So you're not dying in this case.
Huh?
You're not dying to get lashes. You're getting 39 out of 40.
Okay, so?
So he's still alive.
You're saying the third answer. We'll get to your point. You're making a big assumption, but we'll get to your answer. Chaim says a different answer. Very good. Very good, man. Chaim says a different answer. Says Reb Chaim, Malchus is only considered Malchus in front of Beis Din. This is still that which you tried to do, not that which you did, even if we administered Malchus based on your testimony. It doesn't count. Why not? Because Malchus is only Malchus if it's in Beis Din. Let's say a guy's chayav Malchus and he comes to shul. But many shuls had this minigin in antiquity that before Yom Kippur they would administer Malchus in shul. Yeah, I used to do this. So that's not considered Malchus. It's really nothing with nothing. Because in order to be Malchus, as a chayav, it has to be based in a psak Beis Din, which is correct and administered in Beis Din. If I stomp, punch somebody, or I give him lashes, that doesn't count. You're not part, you can't come in and show your back and say, "Ooh, I got Malchus already, exempt me." Unless it was administered based on a correct psak or based in Beis Din, it doesn't count. As opposed to Misa, if you're dead, you're dead. So says Reb Chaim Azoy, if they administered Misa based on their testimony, that's Kasher Zaman, below Kasher Asa, that was they tried to do, not that what they did. So if they did it already, you're part. But Malchus, if you made a psak din based on false testimony, even if we administered the Malchus already, that Malchus doesn't count. That sounds like lashes in shul. Doesn't count. Because it was based on a faulty psak. Zakhtar b'chayim, v'nir loymar. D'rei matzinu gavi Malchus, d'b'inan davka sheyoka b'fnei beizin, u'kidichzim b'kro v'pilu ha'shrei v'viku l'funav. You have to give a Malchus in front of us. If you'll give the Malchus not in front of Beis Din, it's not Malchus. It won't count. When the Eidim are found to be Eidim, the Malchus are no longer Malchus, and therefore it's still that which you tried to do, not that which you did, because that which you did doesn't count. Malchus may olam. Im came hanimsu de ein ala malchus din Beis Din maisa Beis Din klal v'kashivi Beis Din v'ku chutz Beis Din. It's like you got malchus outside of Beis Din. So by saying even after the malchus have been administered, it's kasher zamam v'lo kasher asa. That which you tried to do, not that which you did, because the malchus just push it don't count. There's a similar maral. The Reb Chaim obviously doesn't quote this. Similar maral and the pasuk. Sefer Vayikra, which describes Malchus as a Bikores. Bikores is an investigation. But Rashi, look over here, Isaiah, Bikores Tia. So the first line is Rashi, Rabbi Seinu Lamdu Mikan, Shemisha Hu B'Malchus Ye B'Kriya. Bikores is also Milashon Kriya, which means when they're giving him Malchus, they would scream at him, "This is what you did wrong." Slam. "This is what you did wrong. This is what you did wrong." Every time they'd scream and give him a musa shmuz. A musa shmuz. Rabbi Cohen would be there, you know? And the guys are giving him malchus. Why did that have to be the case? That's what it means. Bikaroi. We have to tell you what's going on. So says the Maharal, because the main purpose of malchus is not as a punishment for the past, it's to improve a person for the future. It's not just a kapar for the past, it's to improve you for the future. It's rehabilitative. So therefore, it has to be in base. And if you give a guy malchus and shul, it doesn't count. You know why? That's not malchus. Yeah, it's a kapara, fine, for the past. But that's not what malchus is about. It has to be in base with the bikairis and all everything that goes along with it. Rehabilitative with the musa shmuz and the whole thing. So if you're missing that, it doesn't count. As opposed to misa, which is only a kapara for the past. That's obviously not rehabilitative for the future. There is no future after misa in this world for this fellow. So that's punitive for the past. Oh, so even if it takes place out of Bezin, it doesn't matter. So kasher zama, the low kasher asa applies to misa, was already carried out. Malchus, if it wasn't based on a proper psak carried out in Bezin, it doesn't count. So if the edim are found to be edim zaymim, the psak is not a psak, the malchus is not a malchus, and now is that what you tried to do, not that what you did. Yeah? Yeah, it just really explains Reb Chaim. Why is it that malchus have to take place in front of Beis Din? Because it's rehabilitative. And you used to get a musa shmuz together with the malchus. Yeah, but it really, it doesn't, you lose everything. When it's based on false pretenses, the malchus don't count now. Because a musa shmuz, or it's like you found out the rabbi is a criminal. The musa shmuz doesn't mean too much anymore. Yeah. One final answer that Benji just suggested. Look at the Radvaz. The bottom of the Rambam over here, back in Oisei. The Radvaz suggests something profound and revolutionary. And that is that the obligation of Kasher Zamam is to your friend. It's not a capital punishment. It's you owe me because you tried to be Machayev me. So if I'm still around to collect payment, so then you owe me kasher zamam, even if it was administered already. The only reason by misa we say kasher zamam, below kasher asa, that which you tried to, now that which you did, is because I'm no longer here. They killed me already. So it doesn't count. They killed the guy. You can't collect payment anymore. But by malchus, when you tried to be mechayev me malchus, you owe me malchus. Not that you owe Beis Din malchus. You owe me. I get to sit in the gallery, whatever. You owe me. Say, even if I got malchus already, I'm still here. Lepnach. So now you still owe me malchus. Kasher zamam. Well, kasher asa doesn't apply to malchus, doesn't apply to money, because even though I had to pay, even though I got malchus, you can still pay me. Misa, I'm no longer here, so what can you do? Rabbi Yosef Engel, in his Gilyonei HaShas, Masechtas Malchus, uses that to answer the kasher of the Urayim. The Urayim asks, when I tried to make you pay money, yeah? I tried to make you pay money, so and I'm found to be an Eid Zomim, I have to pay. Who gets the money? You would think it would be Beis Din. It's not. It's the victim.
So the family?
Yeah. You tried to make me pay, and you're found to be an Eid Zomim, you got to pay me. Go straight to me. Says the Urayim, V'go yadati me'ayin. How did they know this? Sh'amamo niten l'mi she'idu alav. That the money goes to the victim. It's a penalty. I didn't pay yet. Why should you have to pay me? It should be given to the state. I got the monetary payments. Says Rabbi Yosef Engel, no. It's kasher zamam lasos le'ochiv. That which you tried to do to your brother, you owe him. You have to give him the money. So back to the Rambam, says the Radvaz, that's the pshat by the Rambam too. The only reason by misa we say kasher zamam, we'll go kasher asa, but you tried to, and that which you did, because the guy's not around to collect. But anything where he's still alive at the end, we would not apply that rule, that which you tried to do, and that which you did, even if you did it already, it was carried out already, you'd still have to pay, you'd still have to get malchus, yeah.
You're aim is saying this if he's still alive.
Yeah, by money. Every monetary payment.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, of course. The guy's still around.
He's dead, he's just good to go?
No, he pay the family. Yeah, it's his. It belongs to him. Why? But he's asking, why does it belong to me? If you double park in front of my house, do I get the money? That would be a nice thing. But no, would I get the money? No. So why should it go to the state? Even though you double park in front of my house, I couldn't get to work. You were blocking my driveway. But I don't get the money. So, but over here you do. Why? Says Rabbi Yosef Engel in the Gogiani Ashas, that it's because it's la'ochiv. It belongs to you. So as long as the guy's still here, he can get malchus, he can get money. You owe me. As opposed to Misa, the guy's gone already, then you can't get it. All right, you got it.